We aired a story 7.5 years ago that we'd like to revisit now. Let's go back to December 7th, 2001, the 60th anniversary of the Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor. That day, the world aired a report by Clark Boyd. He's with me here in the studio. And Clark, remind us what your story was about.
The story focused on the internment of Japanese and Japanese Americans during World War II. There were more than 100,000 people who were sent to relocation centers across the American West and Southwest. It's a little talked about chapter in American and Japanese American history. But even less well known is that they built baseball fields and carried out organized baseball.
Baseball?
Yeah. Well, you have to remember that an American teacher named Horace Wilson taught the Japanese how to play baseball in about 1870. He was in Japan and taught them how to play baseball. So they already had decades of baseball under their belts when many Japanese began immigrating to the United States, a lot in the 1920s and the 1930s. So they brought with them their version of baseball. And when they resettled in the United States, they created leagues. They started tournaments. So they took that with them when they were put in the internment camps. So what we wanted to do was play an audio clip for you from the original piece that I did. And this is Kerry Nakagawa of Fresno, California. He's the director of something called the Nisei Baseball Research Project, Nisei being the word for second-generation Japanese Americans. Here he is talking about those people in those internment camps, which included much of his own family.
The government took away their rights, their religion, their native tongue, just about all the civil liberties that they had. But they let them play baseball. Baseball became their savior, their saving grace.
And by the way, we've put the entire story back up on our website. That's theworld.org. So, Clark, tell us why you're now revisiting this piece of history.
Well, Marco, it's a bit weird. You know, we as journalists try all the time to not be part of the story. But in this case, the world became an integral part of the story as it moved forward. And so it all started with that piece I did and a traffic jam in L.A. back in December of 2001.
This show got involved in the story in a traffic jam?
Yeah, well, it gets a little bit complicated.
Okay, well, why don't we just listen to the story and we can sort it out that way.
Movie producer Barry Rosenbusch was stuck in gridlock, shock, on a freeway outside of Los Angeles. He just happened to have the radio on, and the world just happened to be airing the report on baseball in the Japanese internment camps.
I am a huge baseball fan from the time I was very, very young, and I thought I knew everything there was about baseball.
But Rosenbusch, like most Americans, didn't know this baseball story. He was intrigued, and so he contacted Kerry Nakagawa, the director of the Nisei Baseball Research Project.
Through the prism of baseball, you really get to understand Japanese-American internment.
Together, Rosenbusch and Nakagawa started cooking up an idea for a movie. It would be set in one of the World War II relocation centers. It would tell the story of what it was like to live in those camps. Rosenbusch shopped the idea around Hollywood for nearly 4 years. There were no takers. So he followed up on some leads in Japan.
I reached out to a bunch of Japanese businessmen as I was trying to do this, and they said, great, we'll put the money up, because many of their uncles and brothers were the young kids during the Japanese diaspora of the 20s or 30s who had to leave because they were the number two son or the number three son, and they weren't going to make it when the economy was crashing. It became something important to them because it's a hole in their history, and that's not something that's talked about in Japanese history about the people who left.
With the money finally in place, a script and a cast soon followed. Rosenbusch and his crew recreated an internment camp in Utah. Kerry Nakagawa even got a bit role as the shortstop. And that's how the film American Pastime came to be. It tells the story of the Nomura family. In the wake of the attack on Pearl Harbor, they're uprooted from their home in California and sent to a camp in Utah.
We were given 10 days' notice. 10 days to close the family business, to sell our furniture, to clear everything from our home. We give our dog to the neighbors. Everything we had known was gone.
The film captures a grim moment in American history. Remember, most of those sent to the camps were U.S. citizens. They were stripped of all their possessions. They weren't allowed to practice their religion or even speak Japanese. They lived in poorly constructed buildings, many without plumbing or cooking facilities. And unless they played baseball or joined the U.S. Army, they couldn't leave. American Pastime was released in theaters in the United States and Japan last summer. But it's as a DVD that the film has really taken on a life of its own. And that's due to Cary Nakagawa's persistence. He's taken the film on the road, barnstorming, to use an old baseball phrase, through Japanese-American communities here in the United States.
We're going to bring Cary Nakagawa up. He is the associate producer of American Pastime.
Thank you, Christine.
I caught up with Nakagawa a few weeks ago at this screening in L.A. He was showing American Pastime after a ceremony honoring Japanese-American veterans of World War II. It was fitting. In the film, one of the main characters enlists to fight in the war. It was his way of getting out of the camp. In fact, many Japanese Americans volunteered out of the internment camps to join the Army's 442nd Regimental Combat Team. The 442nd, an all-Asian American unit, saw heavy action across Europe, as noted in this newsreel, which was incorporated into the film. The 442nd became the most highly decorated military unit in the history of the U.S. Armed Forces, with 21 Medal of Honor recipients. Today, the 442nd, now an Army Reserve infantry unit and not just for Asian Americans, is serving in Iraq. Their motto remains the same, go for broke.
Go for broke, 442, go for broke, 442.
Paul Banai was born on July 4th, 1920, in Delta, Colorado. He tells me he was named for Paul Revere and that he was active in the original formation of the 442nd. Banai later served as a translator for the Military Intelligence Service, another mostly Japanese-American unit in the Pacific. He attended the veterans ceremony in Los Angeles.
I keep working all the time trying to get the history sure that all people will know what we did, not only as Japanese Americans, but as a military man during World War II, to make this country a better place to live.
The film American Pastime takes Go for Broke and refashions it into a baseball rallying cry, with the Japanese American team down to its last out in the bottom of the ninth.
Go for broke!
Go for broke!
Go for broke!
Go for broke!
Well, we won't give away the ending. Sam Fujikawa and his wife Terry were at the screening of American Pastime in Los Angeles. Both of them were in one of the internment camps. I asked Sam if he played baseball.
Oh, yeah, I played some. I'm not that good. I flunked.
What position did you play?
Outfield.
Outfield. Do you remember watching baseball and having baseball as part of the...
still there. My mother didn't let my sisters and me out. She really kept us, you know, sheltered at home. So we didn't get to go to many places, even in camp.
The Fujikawas told me that for years, no one has wanted to talk about life in the camps. It was too painful, they said. Cary Nakagawa says people who have seen the film are now opening up.
Now they're telling us stories for the first time that we never heard before, and they want to now share their moments of what they contributed during World War II to their grandkids and great-grandkids, because these stories are so important to be passed on.
And not just in the United States. The Japanese Ministry of Education plans to use American Pastime as a way of introducing a new generation of students to the story of Japanese-American internment during the Second World War. For The World, this is Clark Boyd.
Clark has also put together an audio slideshow for the story. You can find that at theworld.org.